Motion to approve the budget to actual reports for the month of December. Reports are delayed due to computer issue.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, so we don't have that. Public comment. I guess we have a couple attorneys here that need to pitch first. Mitch?
Good evening. My name's Mitch Cutrola. There are about 40 or 50 people that have got together, formed a group. The group is not opposed to any particular applicant or application. I think that everyone in the room understands the trustees of this village select the priorities for the village and for the future of the village. The planning board follows those priorities by using the criteria set forth in the zoning law. The issue that I believe you have here is not whether or not this applicant will do the environmentally correct thing. The question is that the appropriate place for anything to happen? And I'm not here to say it's not. The village trustees over successive elected officials deemed it a priority for this village to enter into the Brownfield Opportunities Area Program. The village has elected to take several grants under that program. And I remind the trustees that part of the grants is for zoning assessment. What I'm asking for now is the trustees to take the responsibility and make sure that the zoning laws now are consistent with their priorities. The zoning law hasn't been amended in quite some time. A 16-unit development would be allowed in one area or that particular area with the same review. And the question is that really what the trustees wanted when they entered into the whole BOA program and took the money to do that and elected priorities to have a designated area, to have natural resources to be protected, et cetera, et cetera? It seems to me that you should have a review as requested in the grant money to reassess. What I'm asking for is not opposition. And, you know, I sat on the ZBA in my town for over 16 years, and 2.5 years of that was spent on a zoning implementation committee. And after 2.5 years, I left. 3 years later, it never got reenacted. They started again 2 years later, it never got reenacted. And one of the lessons I learned was to do it piecemeal. When I was city attorney for Hudson, city attorney for Ghent, I said, let's do zoning one piece at a time, pick your priorities. All I think that's needed now is to have a look at the BOA and find out if you want specific locations to be designated differently and be treated differently. Because if you do, you have to tell the planning board that. They're not going to be able to do that on their own under the law. And you could deem whether or not, if a 16-unit residential area is deemed appropriate to be right adjacent to the BOA, that's fine. But you may want to have different buffers. You may want to have more setbacks. You may want to have more density with open space. Whatever your committee, if you elect to have a committee, suggest to you and you vote on is what the priorities of this village is. So I'm asking for you to institute a short moratorium to have a committee look at the specific BOA criteria, and I don't think that should take very long at all. And then after that assessment, and if they say no changes are necessary, you've done your job and no changes are necessary, we'll go on from there. But I think that a short pause is totally appropriate based on the recent history that the trustees have done. I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Freeman?
Thank you. Paul Freeman with Freeman Howard from Hudson. And our firm represents the developer. The three principals from the development are here today, as well as Randy Nelson, some dive on. If you have any questions about the engineering side of matters associated with our specific project, Randy came on purpose for so that she could answer any of the questions. I think it's important to consider a number of points in response to what Mitch has said. The first of which is, if you're not familiar with the history of this particular project, in 2006, there were 57 building lots approved on the exact same area that today only 16 are being proposed. Back when there were 57 approved by the village, as part of that, one of the things that Mitch just said that he would ask that you consider is to potentially create buffers. It's unnecessary because buffers were already created when those lots were approved. And the village now owns that 20.9 or 0.5 acre parcel as a buffer to the lake for purposes of ensuring that the environmentally sensitive areas along that portion of the lake were maintained. And so we see absolutely no reason to pause this project in any aspect. Frankly, when the village applied for the BOA, it designated 5 sub areas that were of utmost import to study, none of which were this parcel, even though it's within the general scope of the area around the lake. The board's already done its job. The board's already set up committees to ensure that in those 5 sub areas, the BOA mandate is being upheld. And this particular area wasn't designated because it's already been buffered. It's already been protected. The zoning code does allow for minimization of impact on the site once it's developed. And what I mean by that is limited clearing, limited to the extent possible roads. So what the developer has done is, conscious of all of that, they've eliminated a substantial portion of the road. They've eliminated substantial clearing. They've increased the size of the lots significantly, all of which has lessened the impact to the environment, which is what they apparently are concerned with. So what would a moratorium accomplish? It would accomplish nothing more than what we've already done in the village, what's already occurred. And so at the end of the day, what we suggest is there is a secret process before the planning board. If people have concerns, they indicated they were going to hire their own engineer. The engineer can study what's going on, what the village engineer is looking at, what our engineer is proposing, to ensure that, to the greatest extent practical, stormwater runoff, stormwater events like that, other environmentally critical issues are studied at the planning board level so that this project can go forward. So I've submitted a letter, Brandy has submitted a letter. If the board wants any additional comment associated with it, we're here tonight or we're happy to follow up at any time.
Thank you. Sally?
Hey. So I come in peace, and I have varying gifts, and so each one of those is a gift for each one of them, and I'd like you to unwrap them, and while you're unwrapping them,
this is a legal piece of this part,
So I decided not to write anything because I've been writing about Thornwood for 20 years, and I feel like one more word would be affecting the other. So I decided that this lithograph says it all. And it is what Clover Leach are missing. They're not discussing that. And it seems to get, you know, being totally immersed. So this lithograph was made in 1881. And by the time 1881 comes, you can see that the whole of the village is basically gone. Now I want to give a broad context that at that time, Alana was being built. Hudson River painters were coming in to create the school of the Hudson River. Central Park was being built. And open space was part of the Victorian industrialization. And it was the counterpart to the industrialization. And the open space was considered by planners and developers and mill owners as being a sign of wealth. Sign of wealth. And if you go and you have a look and you read about the Hudson River painters and you read about industrialization at that time, the natural environment became very important at that time. You had industrialization, and then the natural environment became, you know, prime subject matter. And our mill owners knew this. You know, they were very international, they traveled, they went to Europe, they had shops in London, and they were, you know, aware of what was happening. And at the same time, in the Hudson Valley, just down the road, Alana was being built. And various other buildings at the same time. It's exactly the same time that Fillmore was being built. So I want you to have a look at this lithograph. They built out this entire Victorian village with all of these mills. And the mills are very human scale, you know, if you compare them to Cohoes or bigger industrialization or up there. And the one area that they didn't touch, which you can see in the lithograph, which is why we decided to print up the lithographs so that you could take them home and think about it. That hill was not disturbed. That hill was started to be planted with trees, and it was treated as a wealth, an open area. And it was very important, you know that the mill owners could have built on it. You know, they had the engineering prowess to do so. But they didn't, they left it open. And it's the backdrop to Fillmore. This is the backdrop. It's the view shed. It's this beautiful lake that was created in 1848. And that whole hill is the backdrop. And that's something that the lawyers are not talking about. They're talking about environmental issues. And we're talking about humanity. And you, as trustees, take on the mantle and the responsibility to the community. As the trustees, you have the same role as the mill owners. They ran the town, and you have that same responsibility. And so the open space and the wealth of that open space is your responsibility. So I'm asking you to please do two things. Take this home. A gift from us, you know, in peace, in offering, for you to really consider how this village was built and consider what it would have looked like. You can imagine if the mill owners had put houses up there, this would be a very different feeling. Right? This is beautiful. And you can imagine in your head if there are all, you know, all these houses up here, but they're not. It's open space, it's the backdrop, it's the view shed. It's the relationship to the farming, it's agriculture. All of these pieces coming together to create a Victorian village. You have now also as a gift the history of Beaumont that took 3 years to write. And again, you know, please read it, look at the maps, and consider to pause, think about what you're doing. It's only you. That can have an impact at this point. The planning board, you can't say, you know, the planning board cannot do anything. They're stuck with zoning. We have the BOA, as you can see, the legal papers which were provided to you. We made a commitment. We made a commitment to the state. You know, please read the project description. The lake is the center of this town. We've, you know, undertaken to protect it. And that doesn't just mean environmental, it means the humanity of the lake and what it gives the village as a whole. And that's now your responsibility, because it's only down to you. The planning board can't do anything. We have the money in the BOA to do the legal work that's, you know, to review the zoning. So this is coming at a very, you know, it's too quick. It's too, you know, you're being asked to do things. Only you can say, you know what, these are things that we need to look at. We do need to look at the zoning. We've raised the money at the state level. We've got it designated. I want you to think about what that designation means. They wouldn't have invested without the designation. I don't think that you know, there's a good possibility that you don't understand what the designation means. We made a deal. We worked hard. We made a deal with the state. We would not have this funding had we not taken on to designate. And we designated. And you're in that designation, it's your responsibility to look after the plan. And the BOA plan, the center of the BOA plan is the lake, its history, its viewshed. Not just environmental. So please take it home, think about what you're doing. It would be great if you could come back in February and vote, take a motion so that the community knows where you stand. Yes, we're going to pause, or no, we don't think it's necessary. But you know, your responsibility to us is to lead us and let us know where you stand. I'm asking you to do that, if you would come in February and take a vote, so that we're clear about each one of your intentions. Thank you.
Thank you. Peter?
I have a suggestion for the consideration of the trustees. In view of the circumstances of this particular age we're living through, which is to say, a mix of federal and state and private interests that are engaged. And in view of the types of changes that are occurring in the village, I foresee the possibilities of a number of opportunities for funding, whether it be from federal, state, private sector sources, etc. So I'm suggesting that the trustees consider having a core of professional fund grant writers. And other municipalities do this by issuing a request for qualifications. And you would come up with what are the qualifications for a professional fundraiser that could work upon appointment for a particular grant application. And if I remember correctly, the trustees approved a measure last year, maybe a year and a half ago, that any grant application has to be approved by the trustees before it is prepared and submitted to a funding agency. So what generally occurs when you have a qualified list of grant writers, those individuals work with members of the community or experts, etc. But they are not the principal investigator. They are not the ones that carry out the administration of the grant. They write based on their experiences writing such grant proposals. And the village then would look at a proposal, look at the qualifications in your inventory of grant writers, and say, aha, this person does very well X, Y, and Z, has years of experience doing X, Y, and Z. So we would then see, is that person available to work with the people proposing this to submit a grant application on behalf of the village?
Pass your question?
Sure.
Why do we need to be involved in that? Can't the citizens and the grant writer find each other without us in between it and then bring it to us for to review?
I think this would ensure a qualitative standard.
What does that mean?
It means that you as a trustee would define what you expect, what type of experience you expect. A regular person...
But why? Why not just have those two come together? Why
well,
do we need
how are... I mean, suppose...
suppose we find no one from our...
If you know someone, you would encourage them to apply for this to be qualified in a list that would be suitable for 2 or 3 years.
Sure.
I don't think that many people who are interested in doing something will know qualified grant writers that professionally do this work.
So instead, we should find them and make the qualifications for the public.
You issue something called a RFQ,
sure.
Request for Qualification. Okay. And so as a municipality, you would have this list. It would be valid for 24 months, 36 months, something like that.
And the purpose is to find more funds.
Right.
Okay.
And successfully write grants.
So
encourage then the engagement of people in the community that have particular projects. Could be community garden, it could be exercise.
Sure. So we tried it for a year, didn't work, we could let it go pretty simply. You know, it didn't have results. Would that be fair? We gave it a trial run, you know, and then checked on data. That's all,
I mean, it's up to you to define it.
It's not that difficult at times. Does that make sense to me, what you're saying? The minutia is difficult.
Yeah, I just am concerned that we don't lose potential money.
Yeah.
To bring about things that the village needs. And do it in an efficient way.
Done?
Finished.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Julia?
I don't have much to say. I think that what Mr. Kasparova presented, you know, represents the concerns of our group. And I think what I wanted to make clear from the group's point of view is what Mr. Kasparova said, which is that we're not here, we're not talking to him explicitly out of opposition to the project. I think what we experienced in our conversations with the partners of Clover Reach was an amicable conversation and a discussion, and both sides were open to talking. But from our point of view, we reached a point where our knowledge base and expertise was limited in terms of the kind of advice that we could offer in terms of how they could work on the project. And I think one of the elements that we talked about that was really important was their engagement with this BOA project. And so our engagement with Mr. Kasparova has really been about us figuring out what makes legal sense in terms of what you guys can do to engage this project in a way that might ultimately align it better with the environmental concerns that we've talked about, the historic considerations that Sally really eloquently talked about just now, which like I don't even think I've fully thought of. I mean, I understand the BOA. It's a very complex project that's intertwining the historic significance of Philmont, the environmental significance, the economic redevelopment of Main Street, understanding the connection between all these different parts of the village. And I think what's really important to reiterate over and over again is that it's not done. We're in the middle of it. It's in process, and it's very cusp of doing so much very important work to reassess zoning, for instance, which has been mentioned already, as just one example. And I think, again, just that taking the time to consider that is really critical at this moment. We're really just at such a critical moment. And so, again, I've said it before, I would just encourage you guys to really absorb that. And for you guys to understand that, like, I'm wanting you guys to come to the table in this process. It's not to exclude you from it, but it's a project, and it's a process that's sort of bigger than your project alone. And that's my interest and my concern.
Thank you. Jane?
Well, I don't have too much to say, but I just wanted to give to you one of these pictures. I'll just turn it around so you can see here. It's I call it the Holy Family, and it's a group of family of eagles taking up it. So I'm supportive of Mitchell and Julia. And I'm supportive of Cloverreach too. I just want to be careful.
Do you want this back, Jane? Do you want me to give
no,
it to
that's for you to put in the record.
Hold that for Ellen.
Let's go.
Whatever is it?
Put that in the office. Get a frame. No, get a frame.
I will. That's fine.
All right. Reports from the directors and the committees. Rob?
As you know, the Woods is a project of consideration that we're dealing with. And also, Trish and I finally wrapped up the monolith issue. As you know, the monolith power takeoff was in receivership, and credits were issued, and debts were due to them, and we agreed to compromise what was due with the receiver. We got new power purchase agreements executed for the two sites. And the last thing we're cleaning up is the remote net metering credits on the account. And we have finally have the final account distributions to submit those to the utility company. Because as you know, they only let us make those changes in January. So the mayor's gonna sign off on the form tonight. We'll get that submitted, and then we'll start using those credits to the properly applied accounts going forward. So that wraps that up. And that's it at this time. We still have a grievance procedure on the union that Labor Council is handling, but no, nothing to report there.
Okay. Thank you. Clerk Treasurer's report.
Water sewer bills were mailed out on the 29th and are due by January 31st without penalty. Many hours were spent on the water turnoff procedure, creation of a deferred water payment plan following the New York State executive order, filling out and sending out certified letters and coordinating with the police department for door postings. The office experienced a high volume of traffic and phone calls after the certified door postings went out. Multiple residents came in or called asking questions regarding the turnoffs. We've also noticed an increase in requests for death certificates, certified death certificates. Many hours were spent by the deputy clerk researching and filling out paperwork for a vehicle title search. New payroll deductions were submitted to payroll. Village elections will be held on the 15th, so nomination petitions are available in the office for pickup. The office will be closed on Monday the 17th in observance of Martin Luther King Day. And we'd like to thank Trustee Detzel for helping the office staff. Family emergencies pulled us both away from the office within a week of each other. And we appreciate Jason coming in to stuff envelopes to help ensure that the water bills got out in time. That's it.
Thank you. Building inspector. You want to read that?
Yeah, if I find it. The second one in the packet is stapled right behind the treasurer's report. Building department monthly report, December 2021. Tenancy sealed, issued 2. Rental registration, issued 4. Tenancy inspections 2, building permits 5, construction inspections 5, COCC issued 3, CO searches 3, complaints received and investigated. Monty Jennings handled these. He does not report to me, so he didn't give Lee a report. Zoning review, referral of new projects, the Wood subdivision, proposed new retail an apartment at 56 Main Street. Submitted by Code Enforcement Officer Lee Heim.
Can I make a comment real quick? I've tried to get in touch with Lee by going to his office hours for 4 weeks in a row. He has not been there for three of those four. So I don't know what's up. I don't know if we need to check up on that or why that is, but if the community member is trying to get some help, it's going to be real difficult unless you're going to have some technology to get a hold of him.
Have you called a cell phone number?
No. I just stopped by office hours. I had to be there anyway, so I just happened to be in the building. Stopping envelopes.
Library report.
No, Toby, so I guess I'll handle that. If you haven't been to the library, you should enjoy it now because the heat is working, although you're not allowed in because there was a COVID scare from an employee there, so the library is closed until at least the 15th. They're distributing K95 masks to those who need them two at a time. It's an awesome service for our community. They gave away 30 on the first day alone. Obviously, their library is not paying us high and dry because they have a COVID issue. They're still doing curbside pickup. You're welcome to order your books, whatever, your media, and pick it up or get some out of the library. You're so lucky to have Toby in this library community. Giant thanks for Habitat Humanity for moving the shed, which we had difficulty doing apparently, and it's now easier for our DPW to plow that. Parking lot is great. They've been getting more and more funding. They got $1,500 from the town of Ghent. I'm not sure what that's about somehow. They have in-person virtual program attendance at 175. They have 476 people in that library, which is great. And they're working with the Overdrive and the Hoopla accounts with the Clover Public Library. And then Toby says she's renewed her commitment to serve on the Central Library Collection Development Committee and will be attending the first meeting of the year this month. That's it.
Community Center. Can we take that, Brian?
Yeah.
Community Center report for December submitted by Julio Veronese. Director of Facility of the Senator was checked regularly during the month and decorated for the holidays. Programs, the Girl Scouts, the Cub Scouts, Greener Pathways, AmeriCorps, and Loki Anthony leading hip hop all met at the center in December. The after school enrichment program taught by Abby Langdon met twice in December. Everyone enjoyed the program. Plans for a spring and summer program are being considered. On December 4th, a presentation by Sally Baker and Mark Browntree explaining the next steps in the creation of a new community center and playground was held. The presentation was well attended by nearby property owners, by me, and by Julie. I expressed concern about accessibility of the community center by all the residents. And she wishes us a happy new year.
We have coffee.
Yes.
Baby.
You're up.
All right. So for the month of December, we had 18 calls for service, 0 arrests, 115 property checks, issued 8 UTTs. 23 warnings and 0 parking tickets for the month of December. As discussed, we have enacted, we took the whole month to get warnings and we've been doing our due diligence. So still a lot of repeat offenders. So I just had a conversation with Dave, what we'll do on the first snowstorm is that my recommendation is we just tow the cars, especially repeat offenders that are just constantly parking overnight as it is. So some people are getting, but I mean, we're averaging 15 to 18 tickets a night. And then we're out here regularly. I mean, we've got a lot of tickets.
That means we might have an education issue with the community. I figure maybe we should put some notices out or something. Sorry, this is loud. Maybe we should notify the public what's going on. Maybe they're not aware. That's all I'm thinking. That's on our end, not on yours.
No, it's the we do. I mean, one, it's a yearly thing. It's the village law, and we post it.
Yep, I see the signs.
And
too.
We always, we do our due diligence, and sure. We hand out the actual note, just the the warnings on the actual cars.
Okay.
And I mean, and actually,
so we're educating the folks.
So we've done that. So now, we've given the whole month of December as a grace.
Yeah, sure.
And now we've been out issuing tickets, and people are still, the same people are still parking on the street. So,
okay.
So, you know, at that point in time, I it will become, you know, an issue, you know, for DPW to get out there and plow. So I just want to just make sure that, you know, everyone knows and understands that it is important, and then also for emergency vehicles. You know, as a whole, that, you know, some of these streets, like we're still getting the people on Prospect Street, for instance, right? We've done the due diligence of trying to respect them and having alternate parking, but you're still getting people parking on the other side of the street. So, you know, we're going to do our due diligence. We're still doing, you know, we're issuing our tickets, but I mean, at this point in time, I mean, you know, we're going to have to tow vehicles when the snow flies.
I've been towed.
So, we will.
Addressed, you know, I don't know if you want me to just, you know, kind of talk. We had a meeting with the county, the new county sheriff and undersheriff, along with some of his personnel and her personnel, along with state police representatives. So we're, you know, just everything on the same page, new laws, reform, you know, abided by every situation. But we had a nice collaborative meeting here with Doug and the mayor to talk about the village of Philmont and what we need to do, and that's what we're doing. So just want to just keep everyone, you know, abreast of that as well.
Do you have any update on the camera situation?
Again, that's we are at that situation. It's just, that's a matter for the board to pull the trigger, whether we want to purchase the new program or do we want to update what we have, you know, those different proposals that we have in this, you know, right now, or where we're at. As far as Mid-Hudson, I'll be honest with you, they were supposed to get back to me twice now.
Yeah.
And they're trying to oversell a program. I just tried to go off the recommendation what Rob had given us, and that was my last conversation with Arnie 2 weeks ago. It's like, if we got to take out all the bells and whistles of the phone systems and everything else, focus on a proposal for the cameras. That's where we want to be. So.
Right now we're not paying anybody for any cameras, right?
No.
It's a nice egg bill. Did you send all those proposals? Do I have them? Do I have all the proposals?
Yes. All but Mid-Hudson, because they are trying to, I'm not sure what they're actually trying to do. I know they're trying to incorporate phone systems and something else along with cameras, and I just, I told Arnie, we just separate it out at this point in time. Let's just focus on cameras.
We had S&F, right?
Correct. And they switched to general. And they're just, you know, again, they gave us two quotes, one to kind of just put the band-aid on where we're at, which we have, and then want to redo the whole system to bring it up to date from a technology standpoint.
Problem with band-aids is they fall off and then you need another band-aid.
Correct. Right. Yeah. So it would have been the other proposal, which would have been to revamp the system.
Thank you. So
So we attended the Boa Hotel Shandy meeting that was held with Mayor Johnson and Trustee Ostrander being the chair. And we reviewed the draft of the summary meeting notes of the three public presentations that Mark Rountree and I held in December. And we discussed how those went, how the presentations went. Mark and I held three. We did one in the community center, one in the library, and then we held a virtual. Attendance, considering COVID, not too bad. We could have done better on the virtual, but there was a, you know, hiccup there. But all in all, 21 community members attended as follows. There were 7 in the community center, library was 4, and Zoom was 10. We had 20 people register for the Zoom, but a notice was put up on the website, Neighbours for Fabric, Neighbours for Fillmore, saying that there would be a recording. So we lost a lot of people who really did need to attend because it's interactive. And they kind of said, oh, well, you know, we can just watch the recording. So that was a shame to see that that happened. Then we moved along and we discussed how the Boer Grant Committee would like the meeting notes to be compiled, because there's, you know, there's a lot of the sign-in sheets, the handouts, the survey that was done, and whether we bundle all that into one. So we talked through how to do that, and we're in process of there's still all the summary notes are up at the moment with the DOS being reviewed. We did get some comments back actually on the project initiation meeting,
mm-hmm.
and Irene Hollack wanted, you know, some changes done there to both Tricia's notes and my notes. And then we did talk about that there will be the recording from the webinar and it will go up on the website. And those will be made available as they come through. And they should all come through together so that the recording goes up at the same time as all the summary notes and the agenda so that people can cross-reference. Trustee Ostrander requested that PBI produce a formal response to a statement that was read out in last month's meeting by Tom Pano, professional architect, who attended the presentation at the community center and had various points that he wanted to raise. I sent that to Larry last week, Wednesday. So a formal response has been made. And then the last item was that we reviewed again the proposals, items that came in from the Heritage Working Group, and items 1 to 5 were given the go-ahead. Having been reviewed in last month's board meeting by the board. So there's only one outstanding from the Heritage proposal. There's one outstanding asking, if you look at it, it's number 6 on the proposal. So it'd be nice if you could bring that through as unfinished business and keep it on your agenda for your consideration and it doesn't get lost. And that's it.
David?
DPW report, which allowed me sanded numerous times. Garbage and recycling has been being picked up, so everybody knows. Recycling is the first, third, and fifth Friday of every month, so it can be two weeks in a row. So just keep in mind that it's the first, third, and fifth Friday of every month. If the holidays are Friday, it's on that Thursday. DPW helped the water department with their shutoffs and our water readings. On January 3rd, Nabal Camacho started for the DPW. Looking at getting his CDL. I told him he should get his CDL permit by February 7th because of new laws going into effect that regarding the training aspect of I won't be able to train him. I'll have to go to a professional trainer and all that to be able to stress. So at this time we're picking up Christmas trees for a little longer, clean trees at the ball field, remove the red bleachers, checking, greasing and cleaning the trucks, working service the sweeper, patch some rope holes in the road, picked up some tires that were up to about over 40 tires on Cruiser Road that was dropped off by a lovely person. Wastewater and water report, took samples to DEC and health department, all passed, did a few final readings, did our shutoff list, meters, treated plant fulfillments, had generator service and working on a price and availability for the generator at the lift station, made a new sheet for that to inspect them monthly so we're there on inspection times when they are running. Assisting the contractors at the plant, repaired ceiling and painted a corner in the workroom, and assisted DTW service and snow blowing on our partner.
Thank you.
And I just want to say that David's been working with the guys down that are putting that disinfection thing in down there at the sewer plant. It's come along well. He's really been an asset down there while this has all been going on. Thank you for being on top of that.
How long will that be in progress? When do we think that will be
next
completed?
Summer.
Well, no, it's gotta be operational by May 1st.
May 1st.
It'll be operational May 1st, but they're gonna have to come back and do the other work.
Some finishing up.
So they're gonna be here for a while yet. Let's see, mayor's report. As Vern said, we had a meeting with the new undersheriff and the new sheriff and troopers, and Carlo was here. I called the meeting hoping that somebody would show up, but the participation was great, beyond anything that I could have imagined. I don't know what we got done that day. We're gonna get some help from the troopers and the sheriffs. They said that they're gonna start spending more time in Philmont. Doug and I have been working pretty hard on this since March. What we're trying to do is get the people that need help. We've had DSS here, we've had Greener Pathways here. We've got Greener Pathways up to the community center once a week. DSS is coming. They're gonna start coming once a week. And we're doing the best we can with what we have. And at the end of our meeting the other day with all the police officers, Doug stood up and said, as a village board, what more can we be doing? And there wasn't one comment that came from the table. They said that we were doing everything that we could. So, I mean, that was coming from them. That's not coming from me.
And just to add to that, what we accomplished was opening lines of communication. There was at least, what, a dozen officers here?
There was more cops in this room than I've ever seen before in my life.
It was everybody except the FBI.
The participation was great.
Thanks for setting that up, Brian.
Yeah. Can I add something that could be working in conjunction with what you guys are doing, the tremendous work that you guys are doing, which is that in the space where the Free Store was, because the Free Store closed at the end of last year, there's going to be something called a youth clubhouse, which is to help the kids of families who are affected by opioid addiction. And so that may be another piece.
The DSS commissioner, what he wanted from us was a list of all the things that we had. We have programs at the community center, we have programs at the library. He wants some place to tell these kids to go. So Doug and I will contact the DSS commissioner again and tell him that that's going to be happening.
Okay, great.
So he's got another.
Your Greener Pathways too.
Yeah.
And I can get you the contact. If they want the contact name for that, I can get that. But they're probably aware of it. Okay.
Other than that, I've been down in the sewer plant with those other guys quite a bit. And we've been working with everybody else. So, trustees, Mr. Carr.
Okay. So going back to before Christmas, thank you, Brian. We had a nice lunch with the DPW, and Brian, I think, put the bill on that. It was good. I think the guys appreciated it. We had the meeting with the police, which we already discussed. We drove around and judged the Christmas lights.
Who won?
Who won? It was
Lenny Miller won.
Lenny Miller over the court. Second place was Eagle Street. Can you remember the name, Brian?
Karis Brown.
Oh. Third place was Jeff and Melissa Waterhouse on Church Street. And the best lit street overall was Summit. So we did that.
Richardson Hall had an honor memory. Right?
Honorable mention.
I think it was great, you know, that they did get a mention.
Oh, yes.
Right? They got a mention.
Very good, yes. I went up and welcomed our new employee at the DPW. He seems to be working out pretty well. Deb, you could take that job posting off of the website.
Okay.
Dave had me go up and witness a few of the DPW shutoffs, just in case. So I did that. That's it.
And as for our new hire, Laval's been working out great. I've got more than one phone call thanking the village board for hiring him.
Yeah.
Well, he's very personable and he's a hard worker, so.
Yeah.
Jason?
I wasn't here for 2 weeks of this month and I missed you all. But the 2 weeks that I was here in town, I spent most of that time, a significant amount of my trustee time at the office with the clerks, and it was incredible to be there as they worked their butts off literally to get all of this stuff done by the end of the year. So I want to thank them because it's really neat to be down here. I encourage you, as COVID's over, to come down and spend some time in our village office to see how much work and how much planning and how much execution it takes to run even a village of this size. It's incredible. So other than being out at the clerk's office, I've been working on finishing up our community announcements for the tenancy occupation rules and the sidewalks. And I noticed a lot of really clean sidewalks so far, anyway, on my own view this week. And other than that, I've been settling in for another year as a Philmont trustee. Thank you.
Larry? I had a phone meeting with Dave Rogers from RBC Wealth. He heads up the distribution end of the LoSAP program. He said we're doing really well as a village funding that program. We're 90% funded, which is a lot better than most municipalities our size and that have a LoSAP program. He said we should be 100% funded in a couple of years. So we just need to keep rolling with what we're doing. I do plan on meeting with the Penflex, checking on our investments. So there's two different sides to the RBC manages the individuals and the distribution of the money, and the other takes care of our investments. So I just want to make sure everything's going well there. I attended all meetings as was mentioned by previous trustees, and I received a very interesting document today from the Columbia County Fire Coordinator. Statewide, they've done a survey. They sent out questionnaires to fire chiefs and fire coordinators, firefighters. Why are we losing volunteers? The biggest answer was time commitments. So what are they going to do about it? They're proposing tax credits, more than what we're getting now. It could be your school tax, your village tax, your state tax. And also they're going to entertain the idea of pay per call. which is, now we're not volunteers, but we are volunteers. We're not going to be manned here. We're still going to respond from our house, but every time I go on a fire call, I get $10. I'm just throwing that out there. It might be 50. Hopefully it's 50. So if you're sitting out in the audience and you want to do something really good for your community, go downstairs and get an application for your fire company. You can't do anything better, in my opinion. And I have the fire chief's report submitted by Chief Mark Beaumont, January 5th. Calls for the month were 16. I'm not going to read the individual ones. Fire calls for the year, 112. EMS calls, 68. Total calls is 180. So just put that in perspective. That's like one every 2 days. Drills, 2. Truck inspections, 1. Work details, 2. Fire calls for 2022, we're a little behind right now, we're at 1, but that's okay. And that's all I have, thank you.
Deborah? Yeah, I was away actually, missed the last couple of meetings. Thank you, Jason, for attending December's planning board meeting in my place. This month I've been, Tom Pano and I have been planning the upcoming Climate Smart Communities meeting, and we're hoping that will take place later this week. If anybody here is interested or knows anyone who's interested, have them get in touch with me and if they're interested in joining that committee. We're very active. And I attended Sally and Mark's Community Center presentation, which was very good. And I have been, I'm still continuing working to finalize the NYSERDA grant. Also I have been working with Bob McFarland to get the materials and information up on the website about the planning board meetings and website updates here and there. That's it.
Thank you. Tom, would you like to say something about that grant? There, the money that we got from the NYSERDA for your
stretch code,
your work, we did.
Right, so, that's still in process. So you have the letter?
Yes.
Okay. So that's just the first one. There is a possibility of two or three more that we may already qualify for. So we're looking to expand the committee and to initiate some new projects.
Any help that I can give, let me know.
Okay.
And aren't we looking at maybe something, maybe 15, 20,000, I mean, in that range,
right,
in grant money for greenhouse gas reduction activities in Philmont.
Correspondence. List is on the table and the hard copies are in the office. Motions and resolutions.
Motion to identify the village meeting hall located in the rear of 124 Main Street, Philmont, New York, as a polling place for the village elections to be held on Tuesday, March 15th, 2022, with polls being open from 12 noon to 9 p.m. Made by.
Make the motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to appoint Kurt Basil, Marty Miller, and Monty Jennings as election inspectors for the March 15th village elections to be held at the village meeting hall from 12 noon to 9 p.m. at the daily rate of $150 each. Made by.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion to authorize the mayor and board of trustees to sign the annual LOSAP agreement with Penflex. Made by.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to credit account 1350 Philmont Realty Group Incorporated in the amount of $2,712 for the sewer portion only of the October invoice due to a leak located at 166 Main Street. Big buy.
Make the motion.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And I don't have any others that are prepared. But.
The motion we talked about is the motion to update the water and sewer fee schedule with a new service hookup fee to be hooked into the water main, be $3,000, and any and all other fees to be added, such as, but not limited to, the service line turn on, new meter, and horn fees. It's a any and all $3,000 in any and all other fees to be added, such as but not limited to the new service turn on and the new meter and horn.
We need a motion.
I'd like to look at that.
Do what was the previous?
Do we have to do it tonight?
Sorry, so you're saying it's $3,000 to hook up a new house?
I've run it through other local communities, and we are right in line with
cool.
their
Is it a big change than what it was before?
No,
we never had one.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That would be water and sewer.
No. Just water.
Just water.
Water.
Is there another fee for sewer, or that
is, that's another motion I did.
Do you need them, and you need them tonight, or?
Well, I looked at it, and you can amend your fee schedule for your water under code section 152.11 and 14. That's where you're giving yourself the authority when you adopted the water law to amend your fees and charges by resolution. You can also do your sewer by 118.13 by resolution as well. I just confirmed that. If you want, I can draft them into a formal resolution.
Yeah, let's do that.
And let me read the second one for the sewer. So, sewer will be motion to update the wastewater new sewer service hookup fee to be hooked into sewer main, $4,000, and any and all other fees that may be incurred by the Village of Fillmont.
So I'll put it together and you can look at it at your workshop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
Do we want to differentiate between houses which are located in the village versus those that are not?
Well, the outside users are different altogether. This is just for in the village.
Is it, if we pass that, is it going to be more within the village than outside? That's what I'm asking.
It shouldn't be.
You have a usage fee of a double of twice as much for water being and sewer is twice as much.
I know. I'm just saying, I don't really feel that the hookup fees should be more expensive for village residents than they would be for out of village.
Well, it wouldn't be. It would be the same price.
Yeah, we would apply it to everyone.
To everyone.
In or out.
Okay.
So you said, so it wouldn't be.
So that should be added into the motion, right. Yep. In and out.
This would be for a individual house, not anything that's.
Any and all.
No, not municipal. No. Municipal is already set up through the other. You can change and do that later. Not municipal.
And that includes commercial.
Commercial can be done separate.
Yeah, like we negotiated separately with the senior living, advanced living complex that's going to be built at Pine Haven.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to write them all?
Yep.
So in the future, if we have, say, another Richardson Hall put in, is that times one or times 30 apartments?
That would be a commercial, so we treat it separately.
Just be treated separately.
Like with Pine Haven, we looked at their overall gallon per day daily demand and production rates, factored it into our capacity, and then came up with a rate per 1,000 gallons that we wanted them to pay is a hookup fee, which for a project that large is a six-figure hookup fee.
Yeah. It was huge.
So, but then they're not developing their own sewer treatment plant or septic field, and they haven't paid your debt service on your sewer plant since 1972 either, so it gets them caught up and hooked in. So that's the justification. So.
And the justification behind David's numbers are, it costs money to drill a well. If you were to build a house a well is not cheap, and the septic system is by all means not cheap, so this is still cheaper than
and the manpower and time to do all of
that. To go through all that. It's cheaper and it's fair, and the village residents have been paying for this sewer system for 40 years. So why should somebody new come in and reap our benefits? All right. Unfinished business. The first thing I'd like to do is thank the girls for cleaning out the file cabinets. Our room back here is getting bigger. They spent a lot of time this year purging. Things have gotten busier now, so they're not doing as much, but they're still working on it. They're doing a heck of a job, and we've already given file cabinets away, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Our room's getting bigger. It'll be back to normal size soon. That's all I have for that. Anybody got anything else under unfinished? New business?
I've got a couple things in my mind. We may need in the future a village position. In times when, like if we have an employee who maybe needs to be deemed fit for work, I think we should try to find an employee, I mean a position now, rather than wait until the last minute. I'm not sure how that would, have you seen that in other municipalities?
Yeah, like if the county, if there's an accident and they have to drug or alcohol test someone, they have someone on retainer, so to speak, to send them to. I can ask around there and see.
We have nobody. No. Would the rest of the board be willing to appoint somebody if we can find someone?
Is it possible we get
back
with the county?
Yeah, I can figure out who they're using, and then basically you just engage them and see if they're available for an on-demand type call like that.
Because that's what I'm worried about, is that it would be probably on-demand, unexpected, and we would probably not be able to find somebody with the way things are now in a hurry. So, yeah, if you could look into that.
You might want to define employee on that, too, because technically a firefighter is defined as an employee. Paid employee or, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it would just be nice to have a name and a willing physician or... Do they use like well care or any of those kind of things, Rob?
Sometimes, or partners in safety for some things. And
well, maybe you can advise us in a month or two.
Yeah, I can let you know probably at the workshop.
Okay, thank you. And I would like to say about the zoning laws, I would not be opposed to reviewing the zoning laws. I'm not only talking about the development, but I think we need to think about what might happen with dispensaries and lounges in the future. None of that is addressed in our zoning law. We did not opt out as a village, so I think we need to get our ducks in a row and maybe get a committee together and review zoning laws and possibly make changes.
Can I add something to that, just to let you guys know that there's grant, the BOA, in the current grant, there's money to pay for the legal review of the zoning. And so that could include that, because the zoning is very porous, and we were very aware of that, you know, have been for a long time. So the money is there, and there's also additional money in the LWRP in the watershed, which will be looking at land use and local laws in the watershed. But so there are two sets of money that I applied for. So you have the money to do this. It's not going to cost you anything.
Doug, I think that's a good idea, and I think there's some, you know, very sensible legislation out there or regulations out there about, you know, not using it in the village and how long people, that kind of thing. So we can look into that.
I think it's just time. I'm not knee jerk reacting to anything that's going on right now, but I was here when zoning became enacted, and that was what, probably 25 years ago. So, and it hasn't been changed. So it's probably time to look at it again.
It's really important to do it. And the other thing is that, you know, with the BOA and that it being designated, you also have available technical assistance from the Department of State. And Christopher Eastman can come down and work with the zoning board as well, if you wanted to do that as well. So you could have two things. You have a, you know, a pretty substantial, robust package there. If you wanted to, you know, address it like that as well.
Well, I think it's something the citizens, mm-hmm. and like if the mayor were to appoint somebody to chair that, I think it needs to go through the citizens first before we even get involved with state and payments and, you know, this kind of thing. Just
well,
to see what people think they need.
Yeah, but under the BOA, it's set up that you can hire somebody professionally to work with whatever committee, you know, is set up. You know,
I would just like to see the people do it first and then have those people come in.
Doug, I think
otherwise they're perceived as top down.
To jump in, because zoning has been established for so long and haven't been reviewed, you almost have to back up and revise your comprehensive plan. Mm-hmm. And a good component of the comprehensive planning process is usually surveying the residents to see what their desires are. I know the Village of Kinderhook redid their comprehensive plan recently and surveyed the residents. Do they want to see more residential? Do they want to see more commercial? What are their goals? So that's usually the kickoff. Town of Clawbrook did a comprehensive plan and then a revision as well. So that I think fits the goal of what you're saying, Doug, to get.
So do that first.
Yeah, but hang on a moment. I'd really like to supersede in here to here. So when under the BOA, step one, step two, step three, we've been through this many times. Step one was the acceptance of the BOA and of the comprehensive plan. So it gets rolled in. And so, you know, if you were approaching it, you know, to do it, you would be approaching it now under the designation of the BOA, and then by doing so, you would be able to get funding attached to that. If you separate them, you know.
No, I understand. The BOA isn't the complete village, though.
Exactly.
So if he wants to analyze outlying agricultural areas and other areas.
Yes, but.
They can work together, I agree.
I understand that. So what I'm trying to say is that you don't have to do an entire comp update, right? Which is lengthy to do, could take 2-3 years to do a comp update. So don't get caught in those logistics. You know, the comprehensive plan was reviewed by the Department of State as the prerequisite for being able to apply in the original in 2010. So, you know, I just don't lose ground when you've gained it by not being aware of, you know, how that works.
We can never lose ground with the voice of the people behind it, right? We're always going forward.
Well, you can't, yes.
Yeah,
yes, I agree, but you know,
at the next workshop meeting, we'll figure out how we're going to get that going.
Yeah, let's you'll be here, Rob.
Yeah.
Are we getting?
You will be receiving next week a document that takes into consideration the latest state conditions, mandates, etc. And they will both be here at 7 p.m.
That's at the workshop.
Right.
Yeah, that's Wednesday's workshop.
Yeah.
About an hour, you said?
Assuming the equipment works.
Should we start at 6:30?
Okay. I just wanted to make sure they were still coming.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Also, the 19th January from 6 to 8, there's going to be
a SECRA thing?
For SECRA. I asked Sally to set that up. So it's for all the board members. I would like this board to go just so we understand what's going on. Trish, did you send emails to zoning and planning too?
So I sent it to Kurt and I sent it to Bob.
Okay.
Those are the only two emails that I have.
Okay. That's fine. And
Bob did circulate it to his board. I don't know if Kurt did.
We're going to do it here, right?
Yeah, it's going to be here.
What was that date again?
19th
from 6 to 8. I just think it's important just so we understand it. That's all.
It's in person here on the 19th? Okay.
Well, I don't know.
I think it's on Zoom.
They're on Zoom. We're going to meet in person. She's going to bring them.
It's a hybrid. Okay. So, because the state agencies aren't doing in person training, so it's a hybrid. And the idea would be that if there's a way that ahead of, you know, like a week or 10 days ahead, like by the end of this week, we knew exactly how many people were going to actually attend in person. And trying, you know, we're bringing in Randall Martin to do the IT. So it could be very simply that it's just that you set up with laptops and that you don't have to touch anything. You can just watch it and talk so that we don't get into this difficulty of the projection and all the sound equipment. So But that comes down to how many laptops?
Just tell them 15.
Say it again?
15.
15 laptops?
Yeah, well, it's 5 of us, 5 zoning, 5 planning.
Yes?
Yeah.
15 laptops.
Oh, I have one, 14.
You
right,
can bring yours.
Exactly. So, you know, and also you could attend at home. You know, this is the thing. You don't all have to be together. It is virtual.
Well, we like to be together.
I prefer everybody to be in the same room at the same time.
It'd be nice for you to put it up on one screen and I'll just watch.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to have on one screen?
I can probably do that.
Okay.
All right. We have
no laptops.
No laptops.
No laptops.
We have no executive session tonight. So I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?